And so, do you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good? I don't know.
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatchers from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We are coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do. I'm glad you could join us down here. And while I am in New York City and this podcast was recorded in New York City, it's sort of a love letter to another underground scene. It's going to be a little bit of a love letter to the Portland scene, the Portland, Oregon scene, because we have an incredible guest from Portland, from the band Bridge City Sinners. They're an incredible front person, amazing musician. Libby, their singer, is going to be on the show today. I met up with Libby when Bridge City Sinners were playing with the Goddamn Gallows here in New York City. They're on a little tour with them. And we're going to talk about her unique perspective and the wonderful shit that Bridge City Sinners is doing and some of the shit they've had to put up with and doing that wonderful shit. And Libby's just got a fucking awesome perspective. I'm so happy that I got to sit down and talk with Libby for a little bit. I think this is a wonderful episode. I think you're all going to get a lot out of it. You know, a lot of times on this show, I talk about doing two things. I talk about dealing with the mainstream bullshit that we all put up with, and it's a part of our daily lives, and trying to get some perspective on it, trying to get a hold of it and understand it a little bit better, but also trying to express those underground sentiments and that heart that keeps us going, that's so unique to the underground scene that this capitalist system is trying to crush out of us all the time with this mainstream bullshit. And I feel like the stuff we talk about on this episode, the stuff we're going to be talking about with Libby, it's right on the nose for everything Dispatches is all about. We do a little bit of shit talking. We talk a little bit about, you know, being in an underground band that's, you know, doing a lot of touring and that experience, some of those stories. But we also talk about dealing with some of the shit that everybody's dealing with, whether or not they're punks or whether or not they're in the underground. Specifically, we're going to be talking about dealing with the misogynists, although we're going to talk a little bit about some other areas too. But we're going to talk about how female musicians, women musicians have to deal with this other level of shit that a lot of dudes in the scene, they don't appreciate, they don't understand. So hopefully through this episode, we can get a little bit of a better appreciation for what people have to deal with, what women have to deal with in the scene, and how we can all change our behaviors so that we can have a better place. And maybe there's a better chance for us to push out and change this overall mainstream culture a little bit to get rid of some of the fucking misogyny that just like incubates in all of us at all times from this mainstream culture. That's what we're going to be talking about, Libby. I'm so excited for y'all to hear her thoughts on this and go back and forth on it a little bit. But I also really want to say I appreciate Libby because not only do we talk about some heavy, heavy stuff, but she also is fucking hilarious on top of being an incredibly talented singer. And she's had some crazy good stories to share along the way. So going to be a good amount of healthy shit talking, going to be a good amount of healthy perspective getting, going to be a good amount of like talking politics and having fun on this episode. I'm really happy Libby was able to do this show. So thank you very much, Libby, for getting down with us. And Libby is like a perfect guest for this show. She loves to talk shit. In fact, we couldn't stop talking shit. We had like a hard time staying on track because we just ended up talking so much shit. I had to edit out a bunch of stuff because we just could not stop talking shit to make this episode fit. But also, she is filled with heartfelt ideas. Just everything she thinks is so thought out and so articulate, and she's just filled with so much energy. She just cares, and it comes through in everything she says, and I really appreciated that very much about her. But also, she's honest to a fault, which to me is a huge part of not only being a good guest on this show, but being a good person. I think that being honest is what really helps us take those things that we're talking about, those things we think, and apply them to our life and be able to change when we see that they're wrong. And this show is about change in perspective. So I think having honest people and having honest guests make not only make a better world, but also makes a good podcast. So it was fucking rad to have her on the show. And I'm glad that we were still willing to fight through the auditory issues that were plaguing us while we recorded it and talk so much shit. We recorded this podcast on the street in front of the venue that the Bridge City Sinners were playing at, so there might be a little bit of sound quality issues along the way. We did as best we could, given the constraints, but there was just nowhere to go, given the constraints. So I apologize in advance if there's any issues, auditory issues with the episode. Before we get to that discussion with Libby, I do want to say a couple other thank yous. I want to send a heartfelt thank you to my dear friend, Jay Crash, from the incredible band Ground Score for hooking me up with Libby and making sure that we got together and did this podcast. Jay's a good friend and a great supporter of this podcast, and he's an incredible musician too in the band Ground Score. And I think this is a good time for me to announce, given that this is about praising Jay Crash for a minute, who was on tour with Bridge City Sinners, which is why I was introduced to Libby by them. Ground Score, great pop punk band from Portland, Oregon. And my band, Cop Out, are going to be putting out a split. It's going to be available in the very, very near future. It's at the pressing plant right now. So hopefully it will be out by the time Cop Out is on this tour with Leftover Kraken Days and Days, which starts mid-October, late October. I think first date is like October 25th or something in Detroit, Michigan. So make sure if y'all listen to this podcast and you see Cop Out, you come and pick up this great split that is with Jay's band Ground Score. We'll play some tunes. We'll make sure that all of the bands on today's show are Portland, Oregon centered. How about that? All the bands are on the Portland, Oregon centered. Maybe we'll play some tunes from Ground Score. Maybe we'll play some selfish tunes from Cop Out too. We'll see how that goes. But anyway, thank you very much to Jay Crash from Ground Score for making sure that this podcast happened in the first place with Libby from Bridge City Sinners. Thank you very much. I also want to shout out to my homie Gabe, who's been a very big supporter of this podcast. Gabe, thanks for fucking hollering us, dude. I appreciate all that you've been putting into it. And he's also in Portland. So it just turns out that everything great is going on in Portland. And yeah, fuck everybody else, I guess, is what my basic message is on that front. Anyway, I also want to say thanks to Real Punk Radio at realpunkradio.com for continuing to air Dispatch with Me Underground every Wednesday night at 11 p.m. Much love to everybody at Real Punk Radio, including the incredible Tommy Unit with his wonderful show, also on Wednesday night. There's just a ton of great programming over at Real Punk Radio. So if you're into punk tunes, go check out Real Punk Radio and check out Dispatch with Me Underground over there. So let's get to the fucking episode. We're going to play a tune here, and then we're going to have a discussion with the incredible, the amazing, the talented Libby from the Bridge City Sinners from Portland, Oregon. Get down. All right, let's take a break and listen to a tune from a band from Portland, Oregon. I love this band. They're all great dudes. They've been really helpful to me on tours over in Portland, and they're all just genuinely good people. So here's Rum Rebellion from Portland, Oregon. Get down.
Said mile one to year one, we go the waxy struggle. Year one to mile one, I haven't got a farthing. I went out to Monty Town to see a comic car, but he wouldn't give me half a breath. I go to waxy struggle. What do you have?
I have a pie.
I have a pie with you, sir.
And if one of us doesn't order, soon we kick down at the boozer.
Said mile one to year one, we go the gallery races. Year one to mile one, I'll hock me on my braces. I went up the cable tree to Jewish money lander. But he wouldn't give me a couple of bucks. We all went to the bandits. Oh yeah,
I have a fight
with you, sir.
And if one of us doesn't order, soon we kick out of the boozer.
Said mile one to year one, we got no beef from Martin. We go down to Galway Town, we'll get a drink for nothing. Here's a knife we have advice I got from Rufus Munger. You see the rest, you'll be tired of hunger. What do you have?
I'll have a pie.
I'll have a pie with you, sir.
And if one of us doesn't order, so we kicked out of the boozer.
What do you have?
I'll have a pie.
I'll have a pie with you, sir.
And if one of us doesn't order, so we kicked out of the boozer.
What do you have?
I'll have a pie.
I'll have a pie with you, sir.
And if one of us doesn't order, so we kicked out of the boozer.
All right, I'm out here at the Kingsland in Greenpoint, I think. I don't even fucking know. It's early September. I'm sitting here with Libby from Bridge City Sinners. What's
up? Hey, hello.
How's it going?
It's great. I'm happy to be out of the van.
So Bridge City Sinners is killing it. Y'all on a little tour. This is the end of the tour.
The end, yes. This is our last night, and I'm, like, just trying not to cry about it, really. It's been wonderful.
Y'all from Portland and you're on the East Coast for this tour?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So
how's it going? What's good?
Well, it's been amazing so far. Everyone's been super, super like just humble and welcoming to us. We've had a place to stay like every single night. It's been great. We started off in the Midwest. We did like a Wisconsin, Chicago. Where else did we go? I don't even know where I am anymore. Ultimately, though, this tour was about Muddy Roots Music Festival in Tennessee.
Oh, in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I didn't know it was in Tennessee.
Yes. It was wonderful.
We're going to get neck deep in Tennessee in a second.
This is my first time in Tennessee, so.
Oh, okay. A lot of things we were talking about before make a little more sense. You know what I feel like sometimes we underappreciate as constantly touring musicians is that the rest of the country doesn't get everybody else in the country doesn't get to experience people like we do. Like
right.
We get to fucking go around the country.
Oh, and everywhere's
and meet
so
everybody.
Different.
It's and people are so weird and different and awesome.
So weird and different and awesome. Yeah.
So on this tour, like tell me, Libby, like where were some cool like who did you meet cool and what places? You don't have to say names, but like maybe. Okay.
Yes. Well, I mean, everyone at Muddy Roots was amazing. And I really loved like the blur between.
Oh, man. I thought you saw the blur. I'm like, yo,
the blur. I literally loved the blur between like fan and an artist because it was like we were all there camping. We all had like a camp together. Like we're just there just to have fun and listen to our favorite bands too. And it was really wonderful to like look in the crowd and see other people that I admire, like watching me play and to be able to see some of the bands that I really, really love and cherish already all in one place is amazing. And then to be able to interact with the people that are there for me. Like, you're supporting my music, you're coming to my show, you're buying my merch. Like, the least I can do is say thank you.
Oh, man, Libby, you're such a nice person.
I try.
I'm wanting you to get, like, neck deep in some dog shit. People are like, yo, I fucking hate Wisconsin or something. Like, other than the fest, because I know the fest experience is really weird. It's like a tour experience and that, like, there's a really emotional connection.
Nobody's from there either. I'm not hanging out with people in Tennessee. Yeah, it's like I'm hanging out with people from all over the world in one spot. Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay. I wish you could see Libby's face when she says these words.
They've been, every time we've gone, so good to us. Seriously, okay. So good. There's this place, Nottingham Co-op, and it's like a gigantic, it was like an old frat house, like back in the day. So it's like a castle, pretty much.
Wow.
And it's like right on the lake, and like they have a whole ballroom full of just couches. And
what the fuck? Yeah, what the fuck are you talking about?
They brought us there.
What's a ballroom of couches?
It's exactly what it is. It's a ballroom.
Like the ground is couches.
Like, and there's so many couches in this ballroom.
That's
it's just
amazing.
Been turned into this like giant place to stay, pretty much. And it's right on the river, and they made us coffee, and they have like take turns making dinner. It's very sweet. So, but Madison, Wisconsin, and they came and they just brought us like a whole bag of weed. It was great. So, Madison, Wisconsin treats people really, really nice.
Sounds like the anti-New York City. Like, you know, there's tons of room, a million couches, and all the weed you can fucking handle.
Yeah,
it's like,
right.
Yeah. Just for the record, I didn't bring shit to this fucking shit.
Somebody asked you?
Yeah,
so?
Yeah, because I'm a scumbag. And I was like, nah, I'm fucking straight edge. I'm bringing that shit.
Are you straight edge?
I'm sober, but.
I mean, besides like a little fun, like, weed smoking every now and then. I don't drink at all.
Oh,
I'm sober,
my God,
too. So
super proud.
Yeah. I have five years sober.
So fucking proud.
With one whoops. Like,
yeah, it's,
but
whoops,
really, I
that's
think,
fine. You don't have to explain the whoops.
Yes.
It's fucking, it's another day. But it's like me, you, and Jay versus the world out here. Our homie Jay
right.
Crash on
oh
this
my God.
Fucking tour.
And when I'm in a van, especially we're traveling right now, we're touring with Goddamn Gallows, and those kids know how to party.
I'm sure.
Oh my goodness. Like, I do not know how they're still alive, really. They're just like walking dead at this point.
I don't drink a drop, and every morning after tour, I'm like, how the fuck do these people drink and do this?
Oh my
shit?
God, right?
Yo.
My voice already, I'm like, ugh.
Oh,
and
you
it's mostly,
voice sounds great.
Well, it's hardly from singing. It's mostly from just staying
talking
up till like 4 o'clock in the morning being
yep.
like, yeah! Because I love to party, don't get me wrong. Like, I love to party. I am the girl at the party, you know? Like, but...
No one parties like a sober person. Dude.
I just like to have
right?
I'm like, I love this huge Red Bull.
Yeah, yes. Proud.
Which that became my poison, though. Energy drinks. I gotta keep going somehow.
Yo, fuck everybody else who judges us for drinking Red Bull. Fuck them and their fucking bullshit. Like, they don't have any poison they put in their bodies.
Right.
We're gonna get a fucking vat of Red Bull after this interview, and we're going to fucking get stupid. Yeah, right in the veins. Yo, but shout out to Jay Crash from Ground Score for fucking being on this tour and being sober too, for our booking boy.
Yes.
All right, Libby, let's talk shit then. All right,
okay.
Let's fucking dumbest tour story. I know it was only 10 days of tour, but like everybody wants to hear this shit.
Okay, if I'm going to talk shit, if I'm really going to talk shit, I'm going to tell you about how I dumped my Starbucks energy drink on Scott's head like 2 days ago.
Yo.
Which I'm sure he would like doesn't even want me to tell people this yet, but because this is just the fresh tea. This is the fresh tea. When you live in a van with someone, sometimes you hate them.
It's not a big van you all are traveling in.
No, it's an Astro van.
Yeah.
It's literally like mom's soccer van.
It's like y'all have enough seats and that is fucking it. Yeah. There's no room.
And the AC broke.
Oh no.
So Scott drove me freaking nuts the other day. And then I was jokingly trying to talk about a situation, and he looks at me and he goes, "Fuck you."
With like a dead, cold, dead stare.
Yes.
Like
I was
slow
like,
and like intentional.
Yeah. It came from deep inside, "Fuck you." And I popped up off that couch. Popped up off it, and I was like, ready. My hand like went back. I was ready to clock him, and then I was like, it's not a good idea to hit your friends. And so instead I just dumped my drink on his head and I said, "No, fuck you." And then I stormed out and I was like, I don't fucking work here anymore.
Fuck.
And then
what did he do?
Oh.
He took it?
Well, what else are you going to do?
I mean, he could shit his pants. I feel like that's like the name of the game, you know?
But,
take a handful of shit and smear it on the car door window.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Totally. Just take like a piss in my bag or something.
Totally. Someone's got a pillow sometime.
But, you know, it's like 2 days earlier from that, we were on the Muddy Roots Fest, like on the stage in front of so many people at this like utmost high of the tour. It was like, oh my God, we're on the top of the world. And then 2 days later, I was like, fuck you, here's my drink in your face. Like, so if I'm talking shit.
Well, Scott should be appreciative of your fucking restraint for not hitting him. Honestly, he should be fucking out here being you're so restrained. Thank you very much.
I told him and I was like, I was thinking about popping you in the noodle. And he said, I think we could have recovered from that anyway.
Oh,
so it was
really nice.
Sweet. He's so sweet, which makes me feel like even more of an asshole. You know, when like you're a dick and then the person's like, it's okay, I forgive you. And then I am just left with my thumb up my dick ass.
Libby, I'm not saying I'm putting myself on your level because you're an amazing singer, but like as singers, I don't feel like anyone can say anything to us ever. That we have to rationally process in like a non-emotional way. It's like, yo, fuck all of you.
Yeah.
It's my drinks and my fucking hamburger and my
fries. Yeah, smear your hamburger in his face.
Yo, what is it about tour that makes it so stressful? I feel like, personally, I don't know, for me, every time I'm in a van, look, our van is small and disgusting also.
Oh my God, so gross.
It's so gross, and there's so much pee all the time. so few people make that much pee. But why is it so volatile? Like, we love these people. Like,
right.
We're choosing to like make music with these people we love.
The
like,
people you love the most are the people you can be the worst to. I will not be meaner.
It is a fucking shame that this is not being recorded because your facial expressions are so, so sincere.
I'm expressive for sure.
Yeah.
But no, there. You will never catch me meaner to anyone than like my own mother. Who I love very much. Hi, Mom. I love you. I'm sorry.
Sorry for swearing.
Sorry for being rude. I was a horrible child, so.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, I was. I was a horrible
child. But, like, we make music with these people. We love them. But, like, I just want to fucking kill them all.
Right. And I think that's what it is. It's the high and the low of, like, it's like you can't have, it can't be at 110% all the time.
I can't. You know? Really? Do you really believe that, Libby, or are you just trying to talk me off a ledge? Because I think it can be at 110% all the fucking time.
I mean, but even like the ride there is going to suck. You know what I mean? I hate. I feel like I go all over the freaking country and I see the inside of the van and the inside of the bar. And people are like, oh my God, what's such and such place like? Yeah. And I go, well, that one bar was real tight. Like,
yeah. No, we see nothing. But we see people. We get to meet people, you know, sometimes if we're not like, you know, in the van fighting, but like,
right.
You know, I like to meet people. All the places seem similar, but the people are fucking interesting. But let's talk about the shitty people. We're going to take a break for a second. We're going to listen to a song.
Okay.
What Bridge City Sinners song do you want to listen to? Like, you could pick a song
that
you want, like, a bunch of punks and, like, political punks and, like, some hardcore dudes to listen to. What would the song be that you want them to hear?
Let's go ahead and listen to, it's on our new album, Here's to the Devil. It's called Virgin Sacrifice.
Virgin Sacrifice. So here's Virgin Sacrifice. You want to say what it's about so people know?
One more time.
You want to, I'm sorry. There's a fuck. We're sitting on the street in Greenpoint. It's loud as fuck.
Freaking dumb truck.
Yeah, fuck you. Let's not say that, though, because it's probably some mobbed up shit.
Thank you for working really hard. Working class people are really important.
Yeah, but yo, keep it fucking down.
Yeah.
What's the song about? Tell me what's about.
Oh, it's about the devil.
Sweet. Perfect. Perfect. All right, here we go. Here's Bridge City Sinners. Get down. We talked about the joys of tour. Bridge City Sinners were fucking blown up. They're fucking all over the place. But let's talk about the dredges of tour, too, okay. Because I'm not going to, like, you know, I just got back from doing a cop-out tour in the Midwest, probably some similar places. We didn't get down south as much. And I'm from the Midwest. Look, I got no hatred for the Midwest. I get it. But some of the shit that people said to our drummer, Gala, on that tour, I'm just like, yo, what the fuck is wrong with these bros out here that they just think they can say whatever the fuck, whatever comes of their dumb, misogynistic mind, they just fucking feel like it's okay for them to babble out of their goddamn mouths.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I have absolutely run into my fair share of...
Oh, God.
Just
I want to hear it, but I don't want to hear it.
Disgusting.
Oh, no.
Just disgusting humans with no boundaries. And you
but
know,
it's all men.
And
is it all men?
It isn't all men.
Okay.
I actually have had very few situations, but I actually had like two separate situations where I had a woman who was interested in me who was
both of them actually went farther than any man I've ever had in actually physically like touching me.
Oh, wow.
You know, I've had a lot of, mostly men like to use their words, their stupid words that come out of their mouth before they use their fucking brain. But I haven't had a situation where a man has ever like groped me.
Wow. Okay.
And I have had a situation, two situations where women have, like been to go into like, hey, will you take a selfie with me? And I went to take a picture with them, and then they like turned and tried to kiss me for the picture.
Wow.
And I was like, that's not acceptable. I didn't, you know, I didn't say that that was okay.
Yeah.
You know, I will happily take a photograph with you. I'm nice. I'm so fucking nice. I am so nice until
and
you
humble
give
too,
me a reason to not be nice. Mm-hmm. Like I am happy to take pictures. I'll sign your tits, whatever. Like, but like, ask me
just
first.
Just to be clear, I did not ask Libby to sign my tits. Just for the fucking record.
But when we're done, I will. If you want me to, I will.
I did. Look, okay, so there's some women who do it, but like your inbox is filled with dude.
Oh, yes. The DMs, Lord. I believe Whitney Flynn said it best when she called it the dark place. Because that's exactly what it is.
What up, Whitney?
Literally after, like, to give you an example of, like, our Instagram usually gets about, like, you know, like 700 to, like, 1,000 views a week. And after Muddy Roots and after this tour, we've had over 3,000 views.
That's great.
Which is wonderful.
Awesome.
But all of a sudden, the inbox is, like, swarmed. It's just swarming with people trying to slide in. And
oh
my favorite part is when, you know,
when
Scott will be responding to someone and they'll slip in thinking that they're talking to me. For some reason, they think that I'm the one in charge of the Instagram. Don't leave me in charge of fucking anything.
You're in charge. Maybe it's clear.
But they'll write to the Instagram and say something like, oh, you're so sexy, blah, blah, blah. And Scott says, Thanks. XOXO Scott, the bass player.
What do they say? Like,
so,
oh, come on, dude.
So
I'm not like that.
Yeah, and I actually have had Scott many times like send me like a screenshot of him like turning people down in a way like to let them know that your behavior is not acceptable. She wouldn't want to hear from you in this manner. Like, it's okay to tell somebody that they're beautiful, but it's not okay to be explicit in your private thoughts. I don't want to know that you think about me like that.
Oh my God.
You know, like I do understand that there is a sexuality to it. We were talking about that earlier, is that I do understand that I do play like a role. I play a role that I'm aesthetically pleasing. I understand that. I understand that my boobs are larger than others.
Me too.
But
maybe again,
but
I feel like we're talking about my chest a lot.
Right. But just because I understand it, and just because like you can look, feel free to look, but don't fucking touch me.
Yeah. No, I think that's really, I mean, I can't imagine the challenges of like going through that. And I feel like it's a really healthy way of looking at it because, you know, these fucking guys, though, I just don't know how you
As
do
a
it.
Pretty woman, I've been objectified my entire life. Like just even walking from here to here in Brooklyn, I was like catcalled probably 20 times.
That's so crazy.
But you have to, for me, I really learned early how to stand my ground and to let people know what was and wasn't acceptable behavior and things to say. Like I was, I played this show at the Charleston in Bremerton, Washington. Hey, Charleston. hey, Andy Angel. Hey, Truck Bed Boys. We love it there. It's amazing. But there is an air to the punk rock scene where it's just so fueled by alcohol and it's so fueled by bad decisions and so
fueled by bad decisions is a good way to cut it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fueled by bad decisions and fueled by this like
blur. Hungry for bad decisions, like
right.
Hungry.
And,
like, oh, that's a bad decision. I need
this
to make it
blur yeah. of right and wrong, because that's what we like to do as punks. We like to push that boundary of what's right and wrong. What's socially acceptable. But we still, and I really actually, I love this about the punk rock scene now, because I don't feel like this was as much of a thing 5 years ago, but we don't fucking put up with bullshit, sexist, homophobic, racist, any of that shit. We don't fucking put up with it. And I feel safe in even though I have been objectified or, you know, sexually harassed. I do feel safe in my community. But whatever. So I got on a trail. I was in Bremerton.
That was a really fucking great tangent. I feel like everyone should listen to that again, because I feel like that was all really fucking super solid. And it is a huge difference between the last, 10 years ago.
Yes. Sure. Yeah.
So you're in Bremerton.
So I'm in Bremerton. And we played this show in Bremerton. And there's this older dude. He's like an older traveler, an oogle of sorts. Mm-hmm. And
we got his number when you said traveler.
Yeah. And he comes up and he's talking to me and, making up stories. I know you used to travel and I know you from blah, blah, blah. We met here and there. And I was like, nah, man, I didn't do that. But I tried to, he was complimenting me on the music, and so I tried to be as perky and thank you, like interactive and happy, fucking smile, as possible. And I had played my saw. I had played like the musical saw, and I had played my saw that night. And we're talking. I'm being super perky and happy to talk to my fans. And then he says, "When you pulled out that saw tonight, it gave me an erection."
Oh my god! Dude.
And I just said, "Put the brakes on it." And said, "You've lost the privilege to speak to me." And I turned around and I walked away, because ultimately he was a very large, very drunk male. You have to pick and choose your battles. Unfortunately for me, I would have loved to have beat his ass, but I don't think I physically could have. So instead, I made sure to let him know that his behavior was unacceptable and that he no longer gets the privilege of interacting with me.
It takes so much courage, and I know some really good people who feel like in those situations, really understandably so, because of their size and because of the dynamic of the scene, perhaps, that they don't feel like they can confront them and even say that much. It takes so much to say that.
I would love to say equal rights, equal fights, all that. But I would be an idiot to think that, in stature, that a man could not take advantage. Most men
and
could
you know
not
what
take advantage
dudes out there need to hear that too, because they fucking stand aside and they're like, why didn't you just call it out? Like, yo man, this world is not all that fucking way.
Yeah,
it's a complicated situation.
You have to pick and choose your battles.
You never fucking know.
Because so you want me to fucking stand up for myself? You want me to say, oh fuck you, he did this to me, he did that to me? But it's like, what are my consequences?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What are my consequences for calling him out?
Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's like those fucking whatever jock dudes out there, they see the cops do something wrong, but they don't say shit because that guy's got a gun. So it's like the same level of like, oh, you can't do that because, it's an unequal playing field. So like, it's complicated.
Yeah.
Oh, that it takes so much. But you know what? A beautiful woman being on tour and interacting with all these fuckheads is tough. And I feel like a lot of women can relate to that. But I also think that there's another level to this that is important for people to think about and hear about, because as a musician, as a talented, incredible singer, to like be up there and to be objectified in that way, and while sexuality might play a part in this, and that's fine, but like, it's so crushing to me. And this has just been on my mind lately because of this last tour we did, where it kept happening. Where like, our drummer is fucking incredible. And,
right.
Like, every time she gets off stage,
appreciate her for her talent.
Yeah, and people come on and be like,
not for her ass.
Yeah, and just say crazy shit. And like, dude, can't you appreciate that this woman's a fucking unbelievable musician?
Yeah, but for every one piece of shit that I step in, everyone else is fucking beautiful, man. I meet the most amazing people, and I would think more than half of our fan base is female, and that makes me feel so good.
That is pretty special.
I can't tell you, I've had at least a solid handful of young girls had an 11-year-old girl draw a picture of me. Like,
that's amazing.
This lady the other day sent me a video of her two children.
Was it a good picture?
It was amazing.
Okay,
it was phenomenal. She did a great job.
Okay,
she
sweet,
really
sweet.
Did.
Okay.
But the fact that I'm inspiring young people makes me feel, I can't even tell you. And the fact that I'm getting women to come out to shows and feel good and feel safe and to watch me and feel inspired and powerful, like that, it that makes every fucking asshole I have to deal with worth it.
That's a great attitude, Libby. Can I put you on the spot and ask you a question that you might not want to answer?
Yeah.
And we could take, and you could say, fuck you, Joey, this is something you want to answer, but like, is there something you could say that maybe you would want to hear you might want to say to it like a younger Libby?
Oh,
like,
wow.
getting started and like, maybe not knowing that you were going to hear so much bullshit as a musician, especially as an artist. And, like, you know, I feel like a lot of younger women that I know get bombarded with this, like, maybe their first tour or their second tour, especially in certain places, you know, and it's discouraging to them. Is there something you can say to them that you feel like you might have said to yourself
when I was,
you know,
younger,
when I was starting?
Yeah. Well, one, just to speak to younger me. Hello, younger me.
Hey, Libby, what's up?
I would mostly like to say that it's okay to be weird. Like, that was, like, my worry when I was younger was that I was weird. Like, I was just different than other people, and there wasn't a place for me. And I struggled with that a lot when I was younger. And then when I found punk rock, I was like, oh, okay, now I get it, you know? But just that it's okay to be weird. It's okay to be different. And it's okay to, like, dream big. And like, don't let other people in the music scene, men, make you feel like you don't have a place in it.
Mm.
'Cause like, for me, like, an instrument wasn't my choice. Like, for me, music was, I wanted to sing. Like, I wanted to
You're
sing.
You're an amazing singer.
Thank you.
This all kind of looks shitty, actually. If you could just, like, ease it back a little bit.
When I was like, no, yeah, right?
Yeah.
You know, men are wonderful. I do. There's a lot of them
no,
I do.
No, no,
I do enjoy.
No, that's not what I was saying. I'm sorry.
But I felt like I really, really wanted to sing. That was, like, what I wanted to do. And I felt like I wasn't taken seriously by other musicians because I didn't play an instrument. And so, it felt weird for me to go up to other people that played music and go, excuse me, will you do that so that I can do this? Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of forced into playing an instrument because I wanted so much to sing. But, like, honestly, now I could put my ukulele down and just fucking play without it and it wouldn't matter. But,
oh, no.
Like, who needs it?
Yeah.
I could fucking, you can fucking sing if you want to sing, and you can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want to do.
That's good advice, Libby. I super appreciate that. And I'm sorry to take this to a dark place. Let's end it on like a happy note.
Okay.
You're telling me a story, a beautiful story.
Oh.
Of
I have a great story about the show last night. That
okay,
was the one.
Go ahead,
really
tell me that story,
because
I really also wanted to hear the story about this dude getting fucked up.
Oh my god. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
I'll tell you both.
Okay. Tell me both. Yeah. Please.
Okay. So, last night,
where were you at?
We were in Virginia Beach.
Okay.
Which actually, we left Virginia Beach today, and like a freaking hurricane hit.
Oh shit!
Like after, like everybody was like out of power. Like after we left.
Wow.
It was crazy. So we just narrowly avoided this hurricane. Which
for
last
people who
night,
don't know, Virginia Beach can sometimes be a little more on the backward side when you're traveling through.
Yes.
Not always, because there's super cool fucking people in Virginia Beach. I've had a fucking awesome time there. But, like, you know, the culture is, like, a little more Confederate flag than some people might.
Oh, my gosh, yes. That was it. Tennessee. I'll tell you. Okay, I'm going to tell you this story, and then I'm going to tell you the story about Tennessee.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
Virginia Beach, last night.
We're in Virginia Beach, and we're all standing outside the venue, and all of a sudden there's, like, this screeching noise coming around the corner, and this guy comes around a corner on a motorcycle, engulfed in flames.
No fucking way. Shut the
fire.
Fuck up.
He's on fire. The motorcycle's on fire. So,
oh my God.
So the motorcycle, like, screeches to a halt, like, right in front of the venue. The motorcycle's on fire. This dude's on fire. People are, like, running around like crazy. This other dude, who him and his poor girlfriend had won tickets to our concert. They were, like, she had, like, a Bridge City Center's back patch on and everything. She was so cute. And they had won tickets to our concert. He sees this man on fire. And, of course, the good Samaritan he is, jumps over this fence in front of the venue to try and help.
Fuck.
And breaks his leg.
Oh my God.
Jumps over the fence and breaks his leg.
Yo.
So this dude's on fire. His motorcycle's on fire. This guy's on the ground screaming, and his leg is, like, freaking sideways.
You can hear the sound effects in the background as we reenact this.
A motorcycle that's not on fire. Thank God.
No, that dude's on fire too. Fuck him. Get him back here.
But so then these people burst out of the bar with fire extinguishers, and they put out the dude, and they put out the bike, and the dude's okay. But he had like
the dude on fire.
Yes, the dude on fire was
fuck
okay.
Out of here.
Yeah, he had like
how was he okay?
He had like super thick like motorcycle gear on. It was crazy. It was like 2 seconds of like he came around. He like urged around the corner. Like,
oh, he was being a tough guy like, and then poofed into flames.
Yeah, it was. I don't know what happened, dude. Okay. It was insane. So this guy's not on fire anymore, but he did have dreads and they were like burned up.
Oh,
were,
was
like,
he freaking out or was he cool?
No, he was cool. He was totally
what the
collected.
Fuck?
He was totally collected. He
yo,
like,
light me on fire right his now, fucking Libby, bike, and see how I react.
Right, his bike is finally not in flames, and he just fucking like puts it on the kickstand and just like hangs out for a little while. He was just like totally casual, and then this dude's leg is completely sideways.
Oh my god!
And he's
like
fucking
screaming, smashed.
He's screaming, and so I walk up and I was like, he's like, somebody hold my hand, and so I walked up and I held his hand, and like. The ambulance came and got him. He messed.
The ambulance came for the broken leg.
For the broken leg
the
and not for the
burning
fire.
Man.
Yes. The okay. Fire truck did come, but it was just too late for the fire. But and so the dude gets like loaded up and he sends me a message this morning. We made sure that when I gave his girlfriend, I gave her the record, I gave her a CD, I gave her a shirt, I gave her a, I like loaded her up with goods, and he broke his leg in 5 places.
Oh my fucking god.
He broke
god.
Like 2 places in an ankle, he broke like his knee, he broke like
holy
a spot.
Shit.
I literally, like, I'm sorry, friend, I think you need to like take some calcium because
yo,
this fence was not
milk.
That high. I do not know how it happened. It was literally,
I'm sure it was, you know,
straight chaos for a
what
solid 10 minutes. It was bizarre, but that was last night.
My best part of that story is that the fucking bar was just like, oh, there's another biker on fire. Just get the fucking fire
extinguisher.
Yeah. And everyone's like
ready.
Chill, except for the dude who's like nothing to do with it. And he freaks his fucking
then,
leg.
Yeah. So
God
Scott,
damn.
Our bass player, had to call the cops ACAB. But
oh my God, dude, that's so shitty.
So he's calling the cops and he has to say, yeah, a guy's on fire, but he crashed his motorcycle and he's on fire.
Oh
and there's
God.
A dude with a broken leg, but he's not the dude on the motorcycle. It was a very awkward
that's
conversation.
Nuts.
But
holy
okay.
Fuck.
So that was Virginia Beach. Fast forward, actually rewind, rewind. We're rewinding to Tennessee. We're at Muddy Roots, and there's
fucking
this
fucking awesome fest. Everything was fucking sweet.
Oh my god,
super
amazing,
blast,
amazing.
Yeah.
So
I saw the pictures. Looks fucking awesome.
Please, please bring me back. Can I come back next year?
Yeah,
please.
That's right.
But so we're in Tennessee, and yeah, it was. There was like a car with like a license plate that said like Rebel and had a Confederate flag
yeah,
on it.
Yeah.
There was like a dude walking
it's Tennessee.
Around.
If that's the worst you see in Tennessee,
right.
It's a good day.
There's a dude walking around in like a vest that was just a giant Confederate flag. And I walked up and I was like, hey, really nice. Like, hey.
Yeah.
And he turns around and he's like, hey. And I was like, your vest sucks. And then I turned around and walked off. Nothing.
Yeah.
he knew who I was. And then later I saw him and he didn't have the vest on
anymore.
Oh,
good.
So,
oh, cool. All right. So, maybe he knows, you know.
Maybe he knew.
You know, that's tough for some people in some places, you know. I don't
well,
know.
And I know that Tennessee has like this underlying, like they were part of the South.
Yeah.
You know? So,
yeah.
Or were part of,
yeah.
Are the South.
All the red, white, and blue bleeds ugly to me. So, you know, it's all the
right.
Same. But,
thank
you know,
you.
I think it means something to a lot of other people. So,
yes.
You know, it can get ugly.
Which, and like me being from Oregon, if I see anyone with a Confederate flag, you're just automatically a racist piece of shit.
And there's a lot of fucked up shit in Oregon, too. There's like a lot of fucking backwards
Proud
shit.
Boy,
yeah,
Proud
yeah.
Boys everywhere, man.
Let's venture
away.
About, yo,
I could go on.
It's really tough to even just go up to someone at a fest you're playing at, even though that's like your space. Because
right.
You were invited to play here and like that's you've been like christened or whatever
right.
Like this
and
is
and my
space.
Fans are here and I need to protect my fans.
And the fact that you like it's hard to go up at someone in that space and be like, yo, you're wearing a symbol of like the utmost racist shit and it symbolizes murdering and enslaving whole peoples and you're fucking racist
yeah.
And like you clearly hate black people.
There's nothing.
If you could take that fucking off at our show, that would be awesome.
Yes, please. Thank you.
That's so hard to do.
I like to think that my shows are a safe space and everybody except for people who don't want everybody around.
Well, Libby, I think that is super great and very courageous. I also think that you may have not gotten the memo that Tennessee is not a safe place.
Right, I know. I like to think that I do everything that
yo,
I can.
I'm super impressed,
to make it
Libby.
A safe
that's
place.
Fucking wonderful. I super appreciate
because,
that.
Because, yeah, no, I can't background check everybody that walks in the
no.
Fucking door.
No, we can't, no.
But I will be, if I see someone being, like, unkind in these ways, I will jump off the fucking stage and bash you over the head with my fucking ukulele.
Proud.
Like, I will end my own fucking show. Like, don't make me. I'll pull this man over. There's right. very few things that offend me. I'm not very PC.
I'm a PC
in a lot
piece
of,
shit. So you can give me crap for it. It's fine.
But there's not
worry.
Very many things that offend me except for sexism, racism, homophobia. Those yeah. are my like three
the fucking lines
apps
drawn.
Of fucking loot yeah, yeah, not.
Yeah. So let's you're in this Muddy Roots show.
Yes.
There's some backwards shit. Tennessee has some pretty if people yeah. don't know, Tennessee has some pretty fucking sketchy shit at times.
Yes.
Like, you know, it's a Klan country, dude. It's Klan country straight
so
up. Like
there's
it
this,
is everywhere.
There's this fella there who is very questionable in appearance. I try not to judge a book by its cover.
Yeah, he's a fucking yeah.
Sometimes people are just balding.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
fucking shady. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, gotcha.
But I try not to judge a book by its cover. But there was a fellow there that did not give me a good vibe at all from the very beginning.
Shady goose stepping vibe the
yep.
whole time. Yeah,
and
yeah.
then
they'll
the
walk
next,
the same way. They walk like they want to be cops.
The next day, he shows up out of his tent. Wearing these like knee-high socks with two red lightning bolts on them, and he got his fucking ass beat.
Proud.
And he got his ass beat so hard that when they drug his up, they drug his ass up the hill. His pants slipped down, and he had shit himself. Yeah. And
yo,
so
fuck that piece
it
of
was
shit.
Really,
that's awesome.
It was a really wonderful
awesome.
Thing, and it really made me feel very united with my fellow people at Muddy Roots that this dude was a racist piece of shit. And he shit his fucking pants.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And you know what? It's tough. Yo, if you're in Tennessee, like, it's super easy to just be like, yo, we're in Tennessee. Like, we're going to see this fucking shit. And it's going to slip on by. But, like, the people at the show fucking stood their ground, beat that fucker up until he shit his pants. That is amazing.
Yes.
And also, maybe it all happened because you were, like, held in the line. And, like, maybe people saw you hold line against the Confederate flag wearing motherfucker.
Right.
And then later they're like, you know what?
Right.
If Libby can do that, like, we can fucking do this. And, like, fucking
yeah,
held
yeah.
it down. He's
do
trying
it,
to sneak it by
it.
With his fucking socks, a fucking sneaky piece of shit.
Right.
Shit your pants, son. Watch your back. Yo, Libby, this was fucking great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank
yo,
you for having
can
me.
Can you tell people where they can get, where the best place for you all to make some money? And get some Bridge City Sinners stuff.
FlailRecords.com. FLAIL. Flail Records. Did I spell that right?
I think
Flail.
So.
Yeah. I don't know. FlailRecords.com. It's actually our bass player has like a little distro. Like we make our shirts in his basement.
Oh, nice.
And, you know. There's a couple other really amazing folk punk bands on this little DIY label that he's done, Holy Locust.
Oh, they're amazing.
Yeah.
They fucking used to be called Nomad Mountain Outlaws, right?
Rail Yard Guards. I love Summer. Summer's
yeah,
amazing.
So good.
She's just
so
incredible.
Good.
I remember actually meeting her at Folk Life when
yo.
She was like 16
yo.
And watching her play music then when she was just like a baby oog.
Well, they're, yo, they're in like New Orleans now, right, I think?
Yeah,
they're
well,
around.
They're all over the place, man. They just got,
so
they were in
good.
Europe and stuff. They're just great.
They're
but,
very impressive.
Holy Locust, Rail Yard Ghosts, Scott's putting out their vinyl, and
nice.
He's doing a lot for the community with Flail Records. So.
Sick. So go to Flail Records and fucking order a bunch of shit, and yeah, fucking super appreciate you taking time. Let's fucking go hang out at the
Thank
show.
Thank you.
Cool, baby. Get down. I mentioned it earlier in the episode, and I'm going to mention it again a little bit later because I'm super excited about it. But my band Cop Out is going to be putting out a split 7-inch record with our good friends Ground Score from Portland, Oregon, who I mentioned earlier in the podcast. Jay Crash helped hook up make this episode possible. Jay and Kevin from Ground Score were actually on an old episode of Dispatches. You can get it on our website, dispatchesfromtheunderground.com. Go into the archive section. Kevin and Jay are a blast. We had a really good time doing an episode. I'm really excited about this split 7-inch that we're putting out. And while the tune that you're about to hear is not from that record, because we're not releasing those yet, we're not releasing those songs until the record is out, this Ground Score is amazing. So you can go to Ground Score's Bandcamp page and get this song, which we're about to play, and hear all of their incredible tunes and just be melted. I mean, they're fucking incredible bands, so you're going to get blown away by the amazing pop-punk force that is Ground Score from Portland, Oregon. So here it is. This is Ground Score. Get down.
Snakes in the grass are catching my attention. But you wanna go to something opposite.
Don't come fuck with
me. They want some evergreen and they get ourselves to the massive. No longer playing for the cause, just a target market.
Snakes
All right, that's the end of the episode. I want to say thanks to Libby from the Bridge City Sinners for doing this podcast with us, taking time out of her busy schedule when they were playing here in New York City with the goddamn Gallows and making sure we had time to do this podcast. I had a fucking blast doing it. I think there was a lot of wonderful perspective and thoughts that Libby was able to share with us, and I hope y'all got something great out of it, because I think it was just a fantastic episode. So huge thanks to Libby. Huge thanks to my dear friend Jay Crash from the band Ground Score for hooking me up with Libby and making sure we got time to do this podcast. And yeah, huge thanks to everybody else in the Bridge City Sinners for allowing me to steal their singer like away from their sound check and to do this podcast. I really appreciated that as well. Everybody in the band was so nice and super kind, despite the fact that none of them had met me before or talked to me before. They were all really kind to me, and they had no reason to, actually. It was like, it's just some good fucking people, you know? It's so unique to find such good people in this terrible world, despite how we're all raised to be such good people. So thank you for not being normal, Bridge City Sinners. I really appreciated that. And thank you, Jay Crash. Thank you to my friend Gabe for helping out with the podcast, and everybody here in New York with the Dispatch of the Underground Collective. Really appreciate everything everyone's doing, especially Lauren, who was on the last episode we did with Dispatch from the Underground. We should have a new podcast up in the relatively near future, but we will be on tour with Leftover Crack and Days, my band Cop Out will be on tour with those bands in October and November. So if you listen to this podcast and you are at those shows, please come up to the merch table or come say hey and, like, you know, tell me what I'm doing right or wrong or just fucking bullshit. I really appreciate talking to folks about what we're doing here at Dispatches, and it's nice to know folks are listening. So yeah, come on up, let's hang out, whatever. We can fucking drink some sodas together or some pops or whatever the fuck they're called. I don't remember. It's been a long time since I lived in the Midwest, so I guess they're called pops still. Anyway, whatever. We'll be, like I said, Cop Out will be on tour. There's a bunch of other shit we have planned. There'll be a brand new 7-inch split with Ground Score coming out in the very near future. All Torn Up, as soon as we get back from this tour, All Torn Up is going to be heading in the studio to be recording a bunch of new tunes. So pay attention to everything we got going there. And yeah, there's a bunch of good shit on the horizon, everybody. Things are going pretty well, despite the fact that the world is crumbling around us, but maybe because the world is crumbling around us. I don't know. It's hard to tell. Either way, appreciate y'all listening. Please go to dispatchesfromtheunderground.com. There's a merch section up there. There's a donate section up there. You can just share the page and let people know that you're listening and let other people know about the podcast. We have no fucking budget to be, you know, blasting people with this, you know, advertising. So if you can share this podcast, if you dig it, please share it with folks that you know. And that's all we can do. Till then, hope you all keep on digging it. Get down. I'm going to play another tune from a split 7-inch that I was involved in putting out relatively recently. My band Skullcaster put out this record with our good friends in Escape from the Zoo, which obviously features Jesse from Days and Days, if folks didn't know. Days and Days, Escape from the Zoo, Bridge City Sinners, they're all, you know, relatively in the same genre, and I think if you dig any one of those bands, you will dig all those other bands. So make sure that you go check out all those bands if you don't know them. But I want to play a tune from that split, All Cells Are Bogus, because one of the members of Escape from the Zoo is from Portland. Onion from the band Escape from the Zoo is from Portland, and all of the songs we're playing here today have some Portland connection, and that's the wonderful Portland connection here. Obviously, 3/4 of Escape from the Zoo is from Texas, but one of the members is, in fact, from Portland, so this song is for Onion out there. It's from the All Cells Are Bogus split 7-inch that Escape from the Zoo did with my band Skullcaster. You can still get a copy on the Dispatches merch section, so we have a few left of those, so go buy it quickly if you dig this tune. Here it is. Here's Escape from the Zoo from the All Cells Are Bogus record. Get down.
Set up all the annoyance inside.
we're going to end this episode with a tune from my band Cop Out. We are not from Portland, Oregon, but like I said, we are putting out this record with Groundscore, who is from Portland, Oregon. So I like shoehorned us in here. We're going to be on tour with Days and Days and Leftover Crack in the Midwest in October and November. So if you are hearing this and you're at going to one of those shows, come up and say hey. But more importantly, come up to the front of the stage and sing this fucking tune with us. This song is about these shows. It's about our community. It's about the underground. It's about us all coming together. And sadly, it's also about the little time that we do have together. And so we need you to come sing along with us. So you should learn the fucking tune if you're going to sing along with us. It's called Kingdom of Woe by Cop Out. Get down.